Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13 under the title, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. These verses contain several important keys to help us unlock the power of prevailing prayer. The first key we looked at was the appreciation of need, or the knowledge of need. Because you see, if we don't realize we have a need, then we won't ask God or anyone else for help. The second key to prevailing prayer was the stipulation of request. What I meant by that is that there are conditions or stipulations that need to be met in order for our prayers to be effective. We are commanded to ask, to seek, and to knock. Now, on today's program, we want to discover the final key that will help unlock the power of prevailing prayer in our lives. So I hope you can stay with me. As we begin, let me read the text, Luke chapter 11, and verses 5 to 13. And Jesus said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? No father who takes his responsibility seriously would ever consider the substitutions Jesus mentions in verses 11 and 12. While we earthly fathers are certainly not perfect, we are designed by God to be providers and protectors. So when our son asks for bread, and he needs bread, and we have it within our power to give him bread, we'll do it. Most of us do not have the heart to mock our son in his time of need. The same is true with the illustrations of the fish and the egg. In the first example, giving a stone would be harmless, but it will bring keen disappointment to the one who is needing and expecting bread. With the latter examples, there is the possibility of physical harm. And a good father never carelessly places his son or daughter in harm's way. Neither does the Heavenly Father. Jesus completes this section of teaching with these words, If you then, being evil, are known for giving good gifts to your children, how much more shall the perfect Heavenly Father be giving the Holy Spirit to those who are asking him? In this statement, the correlation between earthly fathers and the Heavenly Father is clearly seen. Now, it's quite probable that someone listening to me right now did not have or does not have a good father. In fact, you may have had an abusive father who did not give you the things you needed. He may have taken a perverse delight in making you suffer, creating expectations and then crushing them just to hurt you. You know, the scriptures pronounce woe on any father who operates like that. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. When Jesus describes earthly fathers as being evil, he uses the Greek word paneros. This word evil has a wide range of meaning. But I believe the key to understand what Jesus is saying is in the word being. Jesus did not use the simple form of to be, which is a me. Instead, he uses hyperkontes, a much bigger word, which has a backward look to an antecedent condition which has been protracted into the present. Well, what does all that mean? We could state it like this. If you then, having been evil, know how to give good gifts. Jesus is acknowledging that generally, even those who are unredeemed attempt to provide what they think is best for their children. Since that is true, how much more shall your perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? In Matthew's account, Jesus says He will give good gifts to those who ask Him. Here, when He's talking to His disciples, and specifically the 12, He mentions the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're aware, of course, that the Holy Spirit had not been poured out yet at this time. But Jesus is inviting the 12 to ask for His presence. God's reputation as the Heavenly Father is unimpeachable. He always gives what is best. Now, I admit, we may not always acknowledge God's gifts as being the best. But that's primarily because we can't see the big picture like He does. We have the promise of this text and many others, like Romans 8:28, to assure us of His perfect care for us as His children. The fact that God gives only good gifts to His children explains why He does not give us everything we request, even the things that look good to us. So we need to understand Jesus' promise that God will give us what we ask for as referring only to those things that are good for us. God will, without fail, give only what is best to His children who request of Him in prayer. Jesus assures us in John 15:7-8 that if we ask for the things that glorify the Father, we can be confident in receiving them. My friend, do you have that confidence in God? Have you experienced the power of prevailing prayer? If not, perhaps it's because you did not understand the importance of these keys Jesus shares with us in this text. Do you only come to the Father with your requests when all your own efforts have failed and your energies are expended? Are you willing to suffer shame in the eyes of others in order to lay hold on God and His provision for you? You know, God does not give grudgingly. He gives graciously and generously to those who seek Him in sincerity and truth. Do you appreciate the depth of your need and of the needs of others? You know, without God, without Jesus, you and I are powerless to do anything for ourselves or anyone else. Do you understand the stipulation of the request? Jesus said, "Ask, seek, and knock." Are you willing to ask in faith, to seek with confidence, and to knock with expectation? He promised that those who faithfully keep on asking, seeking, and knocking will receive their desire. Are the things you're asking for things that will bring glory to Him and blessing to others? Finally, do you understand the correlation of response? Do you trust God as your loving Heavenly Father to provide what He knows you need? Have you asked Him for a greater measure of His Holy Spirit to guide you in the daily choices of life? If you will take these keys Jesus gave to us in this text and use them, you will be able to unlock the power of prevailing prayer. God will be glorified, and your life will be fruitful. I want to close this teaching with a testimony of answered prayer. Dr. E.V. Hill, who is now with the Lord, pastored Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California. And he tells the story of how Mama's love and prayers changed his life. During the height of the Depression, Evie Hill's real mother had 5 children of her own. She didn't have enough food to supply them all. So she sent 4-year-old Ed to live with a friend in a small country town called Sweet Home. And Ed just called this friend Mama. As he was growing up in Sweet Home, Mama displayed remarkable faith, which led her to have big plans for young Ed. Against nearly insurmountable obstacles, Mama helped Ed graduate from high school, the only student to graduate that year from his country school. And then she even insisted that he go to college. She took Ed to the bus station, handed him the ticket and a $5 bill, and said, "Now, go off to Prairie View College, and Mama is going to be praying for you." Dr. Hill claims that he didn't know much about prayer, but he knew Mama did. When he finally arrived at the college with $1.90 in his pocket, they told him he needed $80 in cash in order to register. And here's how Dr. Hill describes what happened next. "I got in line, and the devil said to me, 'Get out of line.' But I heard my mama saying in my ear, 'I'll be praying for you.' I stood in line on Mama's prayer. Soon there was another new student ahead of me, and I began to get nervous, but I stayed in line. Just about the time the other student got all of her stuff and turned away, Dr. Drew, the president of the college, touched me on the shoulder and he said, 'Are you Ed Hill?' And I said, 'Yes.' 'Are you Ed Hill from Sweet Home?' 'Yes.' 'Have you paid yet?' 'Not quite.' 'We have been looking for you all morning,' he said. And then I said, 'Well, what do you want with me?' And he said, 'We have a 4-year scholarship that will pay your room and board, your tuition, and give you $30 a month to spend.' And I heard Mama say, 'I will be praying for you.'" My friend, were you blessed by what you heard on today's broadcast? If so, you can have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching. Just write and request it by its title, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we begin a new study from Luke chapter 11, titled, You Can't Have It Both Ways. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.